Turn together in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The first sermon in our series on the parables is going to be on understanding what parables are and specifically how they functioned within the Gospels. So we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 13. Here Jesus gives us the specific answer that we are looking for as his disciples come to him and say, Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? And here Jesus tells us exactly why he is speaking in parables to the people. So this is Matthew 13, this is page 972 in our Black Pew Bibles. Let's read from Matthew 13, starting at verse 10 and down to verse 17. Matthew 13 at verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive.' For this people's hearts has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." It's as far as reading in God's word. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of that word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, everybody loves a good story. We love it when words are woven together in such a way that pictures are formed in our minds. Twists and turns within the stories keep us on the edge of our seat. But as we start our series concerning parables, is that all that parables are? Are parables simply really good stories? Are parables just really great illustrations, or are they something more? Today, as we start our series through the parables, we find that Jesus gives a definition for what a parable is and why he speaks in this way. What is the function, the purpose of a parable? Now, many of us learn this definition. Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. In this view, parables are an elevated illustration. But as we're going to see today, parables are more than just an illustration. The word parable itself means a riddle, proverb, an enigma, a mystery. In Greek, a parable is a form of speech that would be used to draw a distinction and even make a contrast. A parable would be like the dividing that takes place when you have a group of people and they're separated into two teams or drawing the line in a battle. So a parable is a divine mystery that is used to make a division. Some people receive the parable and it is a blessing to them, while others receive the parable and it is a curse. Each parable has its own function, its own focus, its own application. And Jesus is going to be speaking to the crowds, and he's going to be using a parable to make this division, make this distinction clear. So the definition for a parable that we're going to start with today is this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning told to blind the rebellious and enlighten the righteous. So it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning told to blind the rebellious and enlighten the righteous. We're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ speaks in parable to divide his hearers. In the first point, then, we look at the hiding or the secret aspect of a parable. Parables are told to restrict something. Jesus was asked this very question in our text in Matthew 13. Why are you speaking to the people in this way? Why are you using parables? This is something new, something different. Up to this point, Jesus has not been speaking in parables. Jesus says in Matthew 13, verse 11, if you still have your Bibles open, verse 11, I speak in parables because to you has been given the secret, but to them it has not been given. So the secrets of the kingdom has not been given to those who are gathered here. Again, in 13, verse 3, Jesus told them many things in parables. Jesus tells parables. Now, this is very important. Jesus speaks in parables not to make things more clearly understood. He is not speaking in parables to make something illustrated more easily understandable. Rather, Jesus speaks in parables to hide the meaning of his preaching, to keep secret his identity and his work. The parables did not make the message of the kingdom more easily understood, but rather ensured that those who were gathered would not understand. So the great crowds who had gathered together to listen, they would hear Jesus and they would be fascinated by the stories. They would hear it, but their minds wouldn't grasp it. He was not teaching them these stories in order to be a pithy sayings to delight the hearer. Rather, Jesus is going to be using something earthly which the crowd would hear, would understand, but keep hidden a secret mystery, the kingdom. So Jesus would tell them a parable, for example, in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. And in this parable, the crowds that were gathered would hear an interesting story about agricultural things, and it would simply prove something they already knew, but it would remain to them an interesting discussion about agriculture. They would be limited to a surface and superficial application. Jesus said they would see, but they wouldn't really see. They would hear, but they wouldn't really hear. Their minds would not comprehend. The application would not be discerned, because these things are discerned only by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man cannot accept the things of God. The natural man has ears, but they don't hear. They don't really understand. Now, as I said before, this is something new, something different in Jesus' ministry. Keep in mind, Matthew 13 is not the first time Jesus speaks. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and up to this point, Jesus has clearly and consistently preached in open and clear gospel proclamation. Approximately for 2 years. For example, the Sermon on the Mount is not a parable. Jesus is clearly and repeatedly speaking to the crowds through his words and making his identity clear through his works, through his miracles. He's giving convincing proofs that what he has said is spoken on the authority of God himself. However, from this point on, from Matthew 13, we are going to see a growing tide of hostility. The scribes and the Pharisees are beginning to make their plot and resist his work. Instead of falling on their knees in humble submission, the crowds, and specifically the rulers of the day, are going to raise up against him. And the crowds who have come are not bowing on their knees before him, but rather they are coming to have their ears tickled. They are coming to see the miracles. They are coming to have their empty bellies filled with earthly bread. But from this point on, Jesus is going to be continually rejected. And even at the end of Matthew 13, we'll find that Jesus goes to his own town of Nazareth, and he is rejected. In the next chapter, John the Baptist is beheaded. So from this point on, there is a rising tide of hostility, but consider also the context of Matthew 12. If you have your Bibles open, look at what took place in Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 24, those who heard the teaching of Jesus and saw the signs of Jesus accused Jesus of performing these works by the devil. They heard what Jesus had to say, and they saw the work that he was doing, and their response was, "This is the prince of demons manifesting himself in the works of Jesus Christ." Matthew 12, verse 24. Interestingly, Jesus will say, this is in 12, verse 28, that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what is the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin? It is to attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the work of the devil. What do they do in chapter 12? They attribute the works of Jesus Christ, which he performs by the Spirit, to the work of the devil. So the immediate context of the parables is the people are committing the unpardonable sin. They are attributing the work and words of Jesus Christ to the devil. Because Jesus hears these words and knows their hearts, he is going to remove his light and his presence from them. So Jesus, in the immediate context, is met with the rejection, the attributing of his works to the devil. And from here on, there is a rising tide of hostility. They're going to reject him and begin to plot to take his life. And the parables are spoken to them as a sign of judgment. You, the crowds, and specifically the Pharisees, you have ears, but you refuse to hear. You have eyes, but you refuse to see. Your minds do not comprehend, and you refuse to soften your heart. So Jesus is going to speak to them in parables. It's kind of like speaking in a foreign tongue. Perhaps you know this. If you met someone who comes from a different area, different culture, speaks to you in a foreign tongue, you hear words, but you just don't understand. There's no reasoning that goes along with it. If you speak to someone in a foreign tongue, they don't grasp what you are saying. So Jesus will continue to speak, and it's as if he's speaking in a foreign tongue. Without someone to interpret it, they remain in the dark, confused, with a lack of understanding. So Jesus speaking in parables is like speaking in a foreign tongue to those who have gathered. Now, Jesus is going to speak in this way specifically because of his knowledge and his role as a just judge. The speaking in parables is linked to God's sovereign will and man's rebellious heart. God's sovereign will and man's rebellious heart. Remember what happened with Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the Lord further hardened his heart. So what's happening here in the following chapters with the parables is what Jesus describes in Romans 1, verse 24. God gives them over to their own desires. They are unwilling, and soon they will be unable to respond. Jesus is quoting in our passage from Isaiah 6, verse 15. They are rebellious, and they refuse to see, they refuse to hear, and this is a sign of my judgment upon them. Lest they see, they understand, and be healed, verse 15 says. This is not the kinder, gentler Jesus that we hear and see in our culture and hear about. This is the just judge executing judgment. Romans 9 would describe them as vessels of dishonor, prepared by God for destruction. The potter has power and freedom over the clay. Here we see woven together God's sovereign, mysterious work of election and reprobation, and man's rebellious rejection of the truth. So Jesus repeatedly up to this point declares what is true, and they refuse to submit. They refuse to see. They refuse to hear. They refuse to understand. So God, through Jesus Christ, is going to take that light away. Jesus is basically saying, you're sitting in a room here. The lights are on. You refuse to open your eyes. So I'm going to turn the lights out. You're sitting here in the room, and I'm preaching the gospel to you repeatedly for 2 years, and yet you stubbornly plug your ears. So I'm going to take that away from you. I'm going to take that message away. So the first use of parables is to hide the truth from proud rebels, because seeing, they refuse to see. The parables are spoken as a form of judgment. If you are blind, if you refuse to open your eyes, what good does the light do you? So for the Pharisees and crowds of unbelievers, what little they had would soon be taken away. Now, to be clear, Jesus knows the hearts of his people. To Jesus was given the right of judgment. No other preacher in the New Testament speaks by parables. Jesus is unique in this work. He knows his hearers. He sees the hearts of those sitting there. And in judgment, he pronounces a parable upon them. But there is another equally important purpose of the parables, because as Jesus says in verse 11, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven. And again in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. The second part of the answer to the question, why do you speak in parables? The second part is this, because you are my blessed people. And because you have heard and you understand. The word blessed here, it means a happy, fortunate, you are better off. Indeed, the disciples are blessed. Because Jesus has called them and brought them near. And when Jesus speaks to them in parables, how does he respond? What do they do? What do we find in our passage? What do they do when they hear a parable? They go to Jesus, kneel at his feet, and say, teach us, Lord, we don't understand. In humility, they go to Jesus and they say, I can't grasp this. Lord, teach me. Give me the wisdom that I need. And Jesus is going to reveal to them the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps you could illustrate it like this. Perhaps some of you children have those spy ink pens that write with invisible ink. If you don't have the key, you can't read the writing. So you need to turn the pen over, and you turn on that black light, and then what you've written is very visible, very clear. Here, Jesus Christ is going to make it visible, clear. This is what I am saying. This is what this means. Jesus is giving them a backstage pass, if you will. Come with me, and I will explain to you what I am saying. Now, when we read these parables, we shouldn't marvel at the fact that man's heart is so hard and our eyes are so blind. It's easy to stay in ignorance. What we should marvel at is this, that Jesus opens the eyes of his disciples by his Spirit, enabling them to see, to hear, to understand. Because Jesus is going to reveal his secret kingdom work, mysterious things, marvelous things. If you see here in Matthew 13, this is called the kingdom parables. Jesus will say, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like the pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who goes out and sows. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea. Each of these parables are revealing an aspect of the kingdom of heaven. Each of these parables is revealing what God was actually doing in the world. Here in Matthew 13 and even here today. You see, what's being woven together is not only the purpose of the parables, but the content of the parable themselves. Do you see the connection? Jesus is saying, I'm using parables to make a division. I'm using parables to separate my people from unbelievers. I'm using the parables to separate the sheep from the goats. But what's the content of these parables? It's illustrating the exact same thing. That it is Jesus Christ's secret work of making this division. So Jesus speaks in the parables about the division that the parables themselves are doing. The parables are not just teaching about some interesting agricultural thing or something about fishing. It's teaching about election and the sovereign work of God to call and gather his people, connected to the necessary desire and pursuit that man must have. Weaving together election and human responsibility to hear the call, repent and believe. So the parables will be used by God to both veil to the unbelievers and unveil to his people, to hide and then to place on display. For some, the parables will bring further darkness and mystery, but to others, it will bring great light, clarity, and joy. Jesus, who has graciously chosen his disciples, the Spirit opens their hearts so that they see, they understand, they believe, and that truth sets them free. How you respond to the parables is a proof of the condition of your heart. Matthew 13:35, Jesus opened his mouth in parables and uttered what was hidden since the foundation of the world. Those who come before the Lord in humble faith, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, these have been given the glasses, if you will, to see the truth and perceive what Jesus is saying. So praise God, there is a second response, a second purpose to the parables. Although man is hardened in his sin, blind in his rebellion, not everyone is left in the dark. Praise God for those whose hearts have been softened, who have the Spirit living within them. They are able to see and perceive great mysteries. The difference is this, brothers and sisters. How do you receive Jesus? How do you see Jesus? How do you respond to his word? While the masses, the crowds, and the Pharisees, they saw Jesus as a wise man who spoke interesting things, a miracle worker. They never bowed the knee before him. They never humbled themselves and sat at his feet. And that's the very thing we find the disciples doing in verse 10. When they're confused, they go to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, we don't understand. Please teach us. I can't get this by myself. I cannot understand your word by myself. I need your Spirit to enlighten my eyes." True disciples will look to Jesus to apply his word to them. It's a good reminder as we begin our series through the parables. The interpretation of the parable belongs to Jesus. Jesus interprets the parables to us. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. We wait for Jesus to tell us why he speaks these things. It takes a humble, submissive faith to sit at Jesus' feet and to receive the proper teaching from his word. So it is the prayer of the church. This is what we should be praying over the next few months. Dear Lord, please open our eyes so that we can perceive. Open our minds so that we can understand. Open our ears so that we can hear. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know your work better so that we can turn from our sins and be healed. To conclude, as we start our series on the parables today, we see that each parable has a dual function: to bind and release, to frustrate and to enlighten. So as we apply each parable, we need to be careful how we hear, how we receive, how we see. Coming in humble, submissive faith, do not assume you know who the bad guy is in every parable, because it might just be about you. It might be spoken about you. And if you hear and understand, praise God that the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes. Those whom Jesus called will sit at his feet, looking for the Son to give wisdom concerning his ways. Matthew Henry put it like this: parables make the teaching of Jesus more plain and easy to those willing to be taught, and at the same time more difficult and obscure to those who are willingly ignorant. So parables are earthly stories with heavenly meaning told to blind the rebellious and enlighten the righteous. Jesus Christ speaks in parables to make a division within his hearers. So may those who hear these things go and sit at Jesus' feet saying, "Speak, Lord," and cause us to listen, perceive, understand, believe, and be healed. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder that the mysteries have been spoken to us, these great things of who Jesus is and his work among men has been revealed to us by your Son. We pray that our hearts would be humble, that we would bow the knee, that your Spirit would give us eyes to see, that we would perceive that these things are spoken to us and even about us. May we respond appropriately. May we not be like the hard-hearted rebel who hears but doesn't really hear. But may we really hear and understand. And may you make it plain to us who Jesus is, what his work is, and may we believe in him for our complete salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is 400.